Walking along the dirty Thames is a relief. The river air that seemed so foul an hour ago is sweet compared to the suffocating odour in the sewer. The racking coughs and the tuneless songs of the mudlarks float through the fog like phantoms. A sudden shout cuts the mist. Someone has found a lump of coal, and the news is greeted with excitement and a great thrashing of water as every one of the mudlarks rushes to find the sweet spot. But it turns out to be nothing more than a rock. I hear the heavy plink as it's tossed back into the Thames riverbed, that graveyard of hope. "I need to sit," I say. We wander down by the wharves and rest for a moment, looking out at the boats bobbing on the river. "Are you all right?" I ask, after a long silence. He shrugs.
"You heard what he said, and think less of me for it."
"That's not true," I say. "Amar said..." I stop, thinking of my recent encounter with Kartik's brother in the Winterlands, but I'm not ready to disclose that just yet. "In your dream, he said you'd be the death of me. Is that why you've kept your distance?" He doesn't answer straight away.
"Yes, that is part of it."
"What is the other part?" Kartik's face clouds.
It's nothing."
"Is that why you didn't want to become part of the Alliance?" I ask. He nods.
"If I don't enter the realms, the dream can't come true. I can't hurt you."
"You said ignorance wasn't destiny," I remind him. "If you don't go into the realms, you'll only not have been in the realms. Besides, there are hundreds of other ways to do me in here, if you wish. You could pitch me in the Thames, shoot me in a duel."
"Hang you with the entrails of a large animal," he says, joining in, a smile forming.
"Abandon me to Mrs. Nightwing forever, so that I might be pecked to death."
"Ah, that's cruel, even for me."
Kartik shakes his head, laughing. "You find my imminent death so amusing," I tease.
"No, it isn't that. You bested Foulson," he says, grinning madly now. "It was extraordinary."
"I thought you found my power frightening."
"I did. I do. A bit," he admits. "But Gemma, you could change the world."
"That should take far more than my power," I say.
"True, but change needn't happen all at once. It can be small gestures, moments. Do you understand?"
He's looking at me differently now, though I cannot say how. I only know I need to look away. The ship's masts press against the fog, letting us know they're here. In the distance there's a foghorn. Some vessel is slipping out farther toward the sea. "Such a mournful sound, so lonely," I say, hugging my knees to my chest. "Do you ever feel that way?"
"Lonely?"
I search for the words. "Restless, as if you haven't really met yourself yet. As if you'd passed yourself once in the fog, and your heart leapt. Ah, there I am. I've been missing that piece." But it happens too fast, and then that part of you disappears into the fog again, and you spend the rest of your days looking for it. He nods, and I think he's appeasing me. I feel stupid for having said it. It's sentimental and true, and I've revealed a part of myself I shouldn't have.
"Do you know what I think?"
Kartik says at last. "What?"
"Sometimes I think you can glimpse it in another."
And with that, he leans forward as I do. We meet in a kiss that is not borrowed, but shared. His hand cups the back of my neck. My hands find his face. I pull him closer. The kiss deepens. The hand at my neck slides down my back, drawing me into his chest. Noises come from the docks. We fly apart, but I want more. Kartik grins. His lips look slightly swollen from our kissing, and I wonder if mine do as well.
"I shall be arrested,"
he says, nodding toward my trousers and noting my boyish appearance. Big Ben's commanding chime reminds us that the hour is late.
"We'd best go,"
Kartik says.
"That enchantment won't last forever, and I shouldn't like to be standing here when Foulson and his men are free."
"Indeed." We pass by the pools where the mudlarks sift, and for only a few seconds I let the magic loose again.
"Oi, by all the saints!" a boy cries from the river.
"Gone off the dock?"
an old woman calls. The mudlarks break into cackles.
"'S not a rock!"
he shouts. He races out of the fog, cradling something in his palm. Curiosity gets the better of the others. They crowd about trying to see. In his palm is a smattering of rubies.
"We're rich, mates! It's a hot bath and a full belly for every one of us!"
Kartik eyes me suspiciously.
"That was a strange stroke of good fortune."
"Yes, it was."
"I don't suppose that was your doing."
I'm sure I don't know what you mean, I say. And that is how change happens. One gesture, one person, one moment at a time.